What is going on, Clippers fans? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler, one half of the hosting duo here at Locked On Clippers. I am usually joined by William the Opinion Updike. We always come at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 in the morning. Make us your first listen, kill some windshield time, and we're going to dive into what happened in Denver in this heartbreaking 130-128 overtime loss to the Nuggets. A lot of good stuff from this game, mostly good stuff. But we're going to dive into what we liked, what we didn't like about this one. Then it is Thursday. We do Thirsty Thursday every week here on Locked On Clips, just talking about things we want to see more of, occasionally things we want to see less of. But we're going to dive into some defensive stats for the Clippers that are pretty interesting, all things considered when it comes to points per possession. And then finally in shavings, we're going to wrap things up. There's been some weird kind of uptick in the idea that the Clippers could maybe bring James Harden in. I just kind of want to talk to the ether about that, as well as some updates on Natalie Nicasi's attempt at becoming a head coach in the WNBA. We hope she can do it. But all that and more coming up right now. We're getting right into it. The Clippers lost 130-128 versus the Nuggets. Look, this morning started off rough for Clippers fans. At 9:45, Batum is a late scratch for this game. He's entering health and safety protocols again. We hope he and his family are doing okay. It's a brutal loss for a guy coming off the, best half of basketball he's probably ever played. And just a big loss for the Clippers as well. We hope they're doing okay. And then Marcus Morris was ruled out with for personal reasons at 5:20. So things got really difficult for the Clippers kind of at the beginning of Wednesday. But look, this loss sucks. I'm not going to pretend, I guess it's an encouraging loss, whatever. But this is one of the most behind-the-eight-ball games we've seen all year. They almost pulled it out. Zubats had a career high, which we're going to get into. We had a great Reggie night. There was just a fun bench lineup that kind of revealed itself. Just hats off to the team for this loss. The Clippers, for this loss, you know what I mean. The Clippers started Reggie, Amir, Terrence, Serge, and Zoo. This was the first time all season that this lineup had played together. It looked like it at some points. But, what else can you expect when you have two late scratches for starters? What we liked in this one, Ivica Zubac was fantastic. He had 32-10 on 78% shooting, 18 points in the fourth quarter in overtime. He almost fouled out, but Ty won a fantastic late challenge, which was great. But, he was doing nothing but putting in work all game. He was put out on an island on the defensive end sometimes with some of these Denver guards, and he held his own. While also playing the best offensive game he's ever played in his career. That's not hyperbole. It's literally the most points he's ever scored. Just a fantastic showing from Zoo. You absolutely love to see it. That was big. Reggie Jackson might be back on track. Who knows? He had 28 points, 12 assists. He took smart shots for the most part in this one. He wasn't really good from the outside. The efficiency wasn't there, but he was attacking Jokic regularly and finishing well. Another thing that was really nice to see in this game was, so basically Ty Lue just spammed going at Jokic. The Nuggets made a comeback. The Clippers were up 12 at one point. It was a bit of a surprise. We're going to talk about the bench lineup that got us there, but it looked great. The Denver bench couldn't really score, and the Clippers bench was winning the non-Jokic minutes. It was fantastic. But late in the game, the Clippers basically just attacked Jokic on defense pretty much any chance they got, and it was working for the most part. So that was nice to see Ty Lue just kind of spamming that. Basically, they were trying to say, Jokic, if you can't do it defensively, you better bring it 100% on the other end. Unfortunately, he kind of did do that, but we'll get into that later. We had great bench play in the first half, like I just talked about. There was a lineup of Eric Bledsoe, Luke Kennard, Brandon Boston, Justice Winslow, and Isaiah Hartenstein. Which just brought a bunch of energy, especially from Justice Winslow. Hartenstein showed why he's so valuable to this team. Luke Kennard returned. He was rusty, but he did hit a very clutch three late and a technical free throw that made things just even more tense. Justice was finding him well, kind of on like some transition three attempts, which will be really fun to watch develop. Justice had 6 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, and just great energy that everyone else could feed off of. He ended up having 5 fouls in the third, which was not ideal, but the refs were kind of on one, so what are you going to do? Isaiah Hartenstein, This lineup went on an 18-5 run. It made it a lot harder for the Nuggets than they wanted it to be. Brandon Boston Jr. was very efficient from three. He went 4 of 7, 16 points, 4 boards, a great night from the 20-year-old. So, I mean, there was just some encouraging play, and I think the rest of the team fed off this. I think this is the best we've seen Isaiah Hartenstein in the short role in this game versus the Nuggets. He's already one of the best passers on the team, and he just makes good decisions when he's being a great passer. So it leads to very just easier things for the offense as a whole. When this team is fully healthy, this is going to be a nightmare for opposing defenses if we ever get fully healthy. But hats off to Hart for showing his value in this one really well. We tied the Nuggets in points in the paint and second chance points. I mean, it's hard to win a game when, you know, the reigning MVP goes off like he did, but the Clippers did, you know, almost everything right. There was, all right, this is the what we didn't like situation. This is bleeding over too much. I'm just going to say this is where I talked about what I didn't like in this game. You know, the Nuggets were too top-heavy. It's hard to win any game when Jokic has 49, 14, and 10. We could have made it harder on him, sure, but he was also just playing like an MVP. He tried to get Zoo to foul out on one of the most insane flops ever, which was annoying. He also got a technical for arguing a call that he got. I don't know. It was a rough game from the ref's perspective when it came to Jokic. But he hit Aaron Gordon with a pass out of a double team that is only a pass, you know, that he can make, right? Like, one guy can make that pass, and he did make it. It's why he's the MVP. It was very frustrating to watch. And, of course, he threw a pass to a 32% three-point shooter on the year who hit 57% of his threes in this one. Aaron Gordon had 28 points and kind of hit the dagger to close this one for the Nuggets. But, I mean, it was a strong case of just the Nuggets being too top-heavy. They had the best player on the court, and it was difficult. Clippers also had an 8-minute field goal drought, which was rough. That second unit I mentioned earlier, led by Bled and Justice, like, just couldn't get stops in the second half, which really hurt their kind of stops to transition game, which is really crucial for that bench lineup. Nuggets had a 22-5 run in the third. Jokic had 18 in this frame, so that was difficult. It was a back-and-forth game, obviously. Any game that goes to overtime, there's going to be some runs, but the 8-minute field goal drought just was tough to watch. You know, we've seen a lot of those this year. It's a little rough. Terrence Mann made up for, you know, he hesitated on a late three-point attempt that I think we all really got pretty bummed out about. Just take it, man. Aaron Gordon was closing out. It was very late, but everyone was like, this is where you take the three. We love it. He ended up not taking the three, dished off, and it did not go well for the Clippers. He did make one in OT, which was awesome to see, so hopefully that carries over. We closed the fourth with a four-guard lineup with kind of not the best defenders out there, which was odd to see, but we almost won. I don't know. Like I said up top, it's difficult to be really mad about this one. You know, you can be mad that we didn't win, absolutely, but to kind of nitpick reasons, that's just kind of difficult to do. You know, Jokic puts up 49. We're away. We're right there. You know, we let a lead go, but when you again, you're losing two starters the day of, so I'm not really sure what else we could have asked for. Hey, it's on to the 76ers, who just also happen to have an elite center, so we'll see what happens there. Coming up, we're going to be doing Thirsty Thursday, talking about what we want to see more of. We got some hard stats on this one, and then we just have a couple things just kind of pleading to the basketball gods. But before we get into that, got to give a shout-out to Bet Online. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Basketball season is in full hoop. There's a bunch of drama going on. You could bet on certain coaches maybe being fired before certain dates. Who knows? You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including the NBA, NHL, the MLB if it ever comes back, and all your UFC, MMA action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams attempt to stay healthy before the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON, that's all capital letters, one word, at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Every week, we're just kind of pontificating into the ether things that we want to see more of from this Clippers team. And I'm starting one off, which I think is an obvious one, which I think a lot of us We're kind of cursing the skies today. I'm thirsty for a bit of some good luck health-wise. And by good luck, I mean maybe just normalizing and not, you know, losing two starters the day of, and things like that. Lucas Hahn tweeted a stat out today that said, of the eight returning Clippers who contributed to last year's Western Conference Finals run, which is Reggie Jackson, Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Nick Batum, Marcus Morris, and Ivica Zubac, they will have missed a combined 127 games through 46 this season. PG and Batum have both missed 19. Morris has missed 21. We knew that Kawhi was kind of going to be out, but just hurts, man. It's just brutal to see, especially I think, you know, this the Wednesday morning was a bit of a gut punch where it was just like Batum is back in again, which you never want to see. Luke was just in him for such a long time, and then Mook out with the personal reasons, which now that I'm talking it out, might mean he was a close contact, because when Serge was out for personal reasons, that was the same thing they designated him as. I have no knowledge on this. I'm just throwing it out there. Who knows? But no, and you know, health is key for some fun lineups. Really excited to see Bled, Luke, and Hart play when everyone is 100%. When I mean everyone this year, I kind of mean everyone but Kawhi, just for all intents and purposes. It's a great passing unit just from these three guys. You put in Amir and Batum, becomes really fun to think about. Just we're seeing so many guys take such a fun jump this year that you just want to see them all healthy and see how Ty Lue can really tinker and see how we can even maximize this, you know, some of these guys' value even more. Another thing I'm thirsty for, teams to stop hitting off the dribble threes versus the Clippers. Justin Russo found these stats and I wanted to talk about them. He did give me permission to talk about these stats, which is great. Shout out Justin Russo. He makes fantastic content. So the Clippers rank 6th in half-court defense in the Western Conference in points per possession, which is fantastic. They are number 1 in cut and finishing at the rim. They are top 10 in transition, ISO, catch and shoot, and post-up. And they are 11th in pick-and-roll ball screens and off-screen. That's fantastic. Basically, you know, almost top 10 for every single ranking. A couple of number 1 rankings. That's the markers of an elite defense. The Clippers, however, are 24th in off-the-dribble threes, you know, points per possession in the Western Conference. Blows my mind. Is this just due to kind of the drop coverage and things like that? I don't know. It's annoying, absolutely. I think... I don't know what needs to happen for this. We've been down so many guys that I think communication is probably a big part of this. Rotating lineups, all that kind of thing. You know, just a little too much space sometimes. You know, got to fight over those screens a little bit harder. I don't know, but we also know that that's not really kind of what this Clippers team does defensively, especially last year. We would see this kind of switch every now and then. So I think Ty Lue is just kind of doing his best scheme-wise, you know, as well as the assistant coaches and things like that. But... just hope this gets better. You know, if this is even 20th, this defense is somehow even better than it already is. I think it's time to kind of take a beat and also, again, just recognize how much of a feat it is that this defense is this good for this Clippers team. No disrespect to our personnel, but we've been out. You know, I was just talking about guys we've been missing. We've been missing Paul George, you know, almost 20. Well, definitely going to be over 20 games. Batum, going to miss over 20 games. Morris, at 20 games. Those are three of our better defenders. Two of them a little better than maybe Marcus Morris. No disrespect to Marcus. But, yeah, you think it'll get better when we get everyone healthy, but it's just been fantastic so far, so that's a good time, too. But that 24th is just bugging me. Mentioned this before in the post-game recap. Just really thirsty for more Hartenstein in the short role. It's, again, it's that decision-making that makes him so good, and his floaters are so good. I'm not sure what he's shooting floater percentage-wise, but it has to be somewhere in the 60s or something like that. It feels like he never misses those. If the Clippers can keep him, kind of seeing him in lineups with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, just the passing and the gravity that's going to be there is very exciting for Clippers fans. There's a lot of things. We've talked about how this year is a house money year and things like that. And one of the best things that come out of this has been Hartenstein. We hope that the MLE is going to be enough. I think it's the taxpayer MLE is going to be enough to keep him next year. But, you know, this is the beauty of the House Money year. You get to see how good Hartenstein is with guys who, you know, spacing-wise, it's going to be a lot different when everyone is healthy for this Clippers team. And he's only going to add to that. It also kind of seems like he's fully taken back that second center job from Serge Ibaka. He only played 12 minutes in this Nuggets game, which was interesting. He had a pretty good stretch compared to Serge's 14, but I think part of that was due to Zoo just playing so well. But yeah, it's we'll see what happens. We hope he can keep him. But yeah, more heart in the short roll, please. I'm thirsty for a win streak. I know that might be asking for a lot with Batum being out now. I'm not going to pretend like this is a team that like should be rattling off win streaks or anything like that. But when you look at this Clips team, they had a 7-game win streak very early in the season, a 4-game streak last month, and then a 2-game quote-unquote streak earlier this month. These are the only times the Clippers have had more than one win in a row. 3 times. are those 3 instances I just talked about, which was, shocking's not the right word, because when I saw it, I was kind of like, oh, all right. You know, that checks out. It's a little disappointing, I guess, a little deflating maybe, and things like that. But it wasn't surprising, but it'd be nice to see another 3-game win streak, just for a lot of reasons. But I think the potential spot to get it, I don't know if we get it on this 8-game road trip. Call me crazy, call me a pessimist. I'm not sure we get it on this 8-game road trip. But ironically, I do think there's a chance to get it where 2 of the games are on the road, which is in late February / March. The Clippers go at Lakers, then play the Rockets twice in 3 days. And then the day after that, they play the Lakers at Crypto. This seems like a solid shot, I think. There's turmoil across the hall with Frank Vogel probably getting fired. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, if I'm being totally honest. Who knows? Not his fault what's going on over there. There's a $44 million issue that they have to deal with. And, you know, I think we can beat the Rockets twice in 3 days. I don't think that's crazy at all. Yeah, and then, you know, say we lose that first game, beat the Rockets twice, could play the other team across the hall back at home. I think that's a stretch where the Clippers can maybe get 3 in a row while we kind of wait. I mean, hopefully PG will be back by then if he feels totally ready to go and the team is cool with it. But, no, I think that's a spot. And I think this version of the Clippers could also do it too. Maybe getting Batum and Mook back, it gives them obviously a better shot at this, but I think this is where the Clippers can make up some ground right now, because the margins are so thin in the Western Conference especially. Would like to close out this Thirsty Thursday with a shout-out to Carl Tart. There's been seemingly a concentrated effort by the Hollywood elite on Clippers Twitter to show how big of a Clippers fan Carl Tart is. He absolutely is. He's on a fantastic show called Grand Crew on NBC that everyone should watch. And he reps the Clippers on the show. We all need more Clippers representation, in mainstream media. It's also on Blackish quite a bit. Shout out to Anthony Anderson. But he needs to be made a game host or whatever that featured guest host thing is at Staples Center. Bottom line is Carl Tart needs to be hurling t-shirts at Clippers fans. He would love nothing more than that. So I don't know, I guess tweet at the Clippers. He doesn't have a Twitter, which is baffling. But, yeah, tweet at the Clippers that Carl Tart should be a game host as well. Coming up, going to be talking this weird kind of Harden scuttlebutt. Not even scuttlebutt. It's not even that. Drivel, we'll go with that. And then an update on the Clippers assistant coach potentially leaving. Hey, welcome to Shavings, named after our old podcast. This is where we kind of just wrap up all the random stuff happening in the Clippers sphere. Or just, you know, basketball in general. But I've recently seen kind of a weird uptick on Clippers Twitter about this idea to kind of bringing James Harden over somehow. This started after a report by Mark Stein that he's, quote-unquote, open to relocation this summer. He turned down an extension in October. So, like, sure, this might be true. But, like, the Clippers don't have the pieces to add up to the money that he would need to make happen. He makes $47 million next year if he opts in. And if they did, just maneuvering this to happen makes the roster kind of a shell afterwards. You know, you kind of like Jason Preston is getting potentially has to get minutes in this lineup. No disrespect to Jason Preston, but he's coming back from an injury. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where I don't see it. Vibes-wise, I don't know. Who knows? L.A. nightlife does remain undefeated, and I think James Harden, I don't know if he can handle it in Los Angeles. Although he and I do, I think, run in different circles, so who knows about that. Either way, yeah, I think this is something that might kind of stay on the fringes. I hope it does, just because I don't think it's 100. You know, it's just not a possibility, really. Moving on, Natalie Nicasi, update on her potentially being a head coach. The Phoenix Mercury are now down to 3 coaching candidates because Teresa Witherspoon, withdrew her name. Hope Natalie gets that job. That would be pretty sweet. She deserves a head coaching spot. She's been so clutch for the Clippers. And again, we've talked about it before. Watching her and Sam Cassell play one-on-one pregame is always a fun time pregame for the Clippers and things like that. Just vibe-wise, which you always love to see. Oh, man. I'm still kind of reeling, if I'm being honest, off that that loss in Denver. The Clippers put up such a good fight in this one. You just absolutely love to see it. Got to give a shout-out. Rest in peace, Lucia Harris, who passed recently. Harris is considered to be, I saw this on Carl Tart's story, the aforementioned Carl Tart, one of the greatest athletes out of Mississippi, absolutely. And also just a pioneer, you know, of women's basketball. She played for Delta State University, won 3 consecutive intercollegiate athletics for women national championships, which is insane. Averaged 31 points a game in the 1975-1976 season. For her career, she had a 109-6 record in college, averaging 26 and 14 boards. Unbelievable. She crushed in the post, scored 47 points at Madison Square Garden at one point, and was the first and only woman ever officially drafted by the NBA, which the Wikipedia lets you know is a men's professional basketball league. She is in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame and the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Shout out to the GOAT, someone who I think a lot of us maybe wish we'd been aware of a lot sooner. An incredible career. Represented the U.S. national team, got the silver medal in the 76 games, which was the first women's basketball tournament at the Olympic Games. So, yeah, just truly a pioneer. Did so much for the game. Rest in peace to a GOAT. That about wraps it up for this edition of Locked On Clippers. Friday's episode, a preview of Clippers versus 76ers. Gonna be tough with Embiid. Embiid is coming off easily one of the best games of his career and one of the best scoring games maybe of all time. I think it was, 50 points on 27 shots? So, we'll see. Clippers are getting kind of the gauntlet of big men recently. A brief reminder that the Clippers do play the Knicks on Sunday, which is at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So we are either all going to be very excited or very bummed out around 12:30. Who knows? Let's hope that goes well for the Clips. We're going to be doing a Love, Mary quarantine. We do that every Friday. It's a fun time. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, maybe some more scuttlebutt. I don't know. It feels like it's been a week of scuttlebutt here at Locked On Clips. We come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Make us your first listen. It's a good time. If you feel so inclined, we would love a rating, a review over on Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast keep going. Give all the Clippers podcasts a 5-star review. If you write a review, we'll read it on air. If it's funny, sure. If it's mean, we'll probably also read it because we need the content, if I'm being honest. You can also rate us on Spotify now, 5 stars. And you can find us if you want to tell someone that you know and trust or to listen to a Clippers podcast. Like I said, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Amazon Pods, which I think is a thing. I'm not entirely sure. I am usually joined by William the Opinion Updike, and I myself, and Positive Chuck Mockler, and we will talk to you tomorrow.